Okay, so last weekend, I walk out my front door, and there's two sets of steps that go down to the street. And this is more than 24 hours into the winter storm at this point, right? So enough snow had built up on the steps where you couldn't as much make out the grooves of the steps. They looked more like rounded mounds, and the snow had hardened and frozen over. But at the advice of my landlord, I decided not to shovel the steps. So I walk out the front door and take the first leap for mankind with like all the confidence in the world. And I just ate it. I completely slipped and fell on my tail. And you know, luckily I don't think anyone except for God saw me, but my ego was bruised a little bit. And I thought about this podcast last week and Todd, your trip to the hardware store to get the ice product Purple Magic. And I sure could have used some Purple Magic last weekend. I won't speak for Dan too, but Todd, I feel like you may have won the snowstorm, especially since you covered a football game, which I didn't do because I got iced in.
It was magic. I mean, let's just call it what it was. It was magic. And yeah, you're right. I did get a chance to get the Z out before it actually got really bad. So, I mean, there's a caveat there, but yeah, it was definitely magic on my sidewalks, man.
Any of the three, am I the only one that slipped out of the three of us in the ice?
Yes. I did have some treacherous driving over the last week. My son was on a team that played in Troy, Idaho, and it was a brutal drive back from there to Spokane in the snow and ice. And then the following 2 days later, I had to drive down to Pullman for a game for Washington State.
Yeah, we hope everybody's been staying safe and all that. I know, you know, it's been a weird week with those storms surging across the country. This, of course, is the SB Live Washington podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. This week's episode, we catch up with Ryan McKenna. He's the quarterback at Gonzaga Prep, who is the GSL favorites heading into this COVID-shortened season. He's a very good hockey player as well. He's the center for the Spokane Braves and has some great stories to share about that and balancing the two, as well as how he's prepared for this season as Gonzaga Prep prepares for its first game. So we'll get to that interview later. We're gearing up to cover a bigger weekend of football as the season kind of week one starts to phase in around the state on the west side of the state. Todd and I will be at games this weekend. Really excited for that. No more jamborees. These teams are playing for real now, and schools across the state are installing everything they need to on the fly in these two allotted weeks since they've been cleared to come back from practice. So that kind of leads into the topic I want to get into. 2 weeks leading up to the season gives teams enough time to log 10 practices, which is the required amount to be ready for a season by the WIA. But in a normal year, you have spring ball, you have summer stuff, you have, you know, team meetings, you have team camp, and there's legitimate concern that since there hasn't been any of that this year, just among coaches, as we talk to them leading up these last 2 weeks, that there's concern that there's not enough time to, one, install team cultures, schemes, systems, but also you have the physical side of things. You know, getting in shape, building conditioning, and how coaches are kind of have to preparing on the fly to you know, prepared for to roll it out there and play a game when you don't have all that. So my question to you guys to kick things off is, what do you think is going to be more of a concern in week one? Is it going to be the mental side of things, the preparation, or the physical side of things, being in shape, being conditioned?
You know, I think both of them are going to be something to keep an eye out for. I think, and I can't speak for every student athlete, but, you know, I would imagine that most kids have done something knowing that the season is on the horizon. Now, are they in the same amount of physical shape that they were in a season ago? I doubt it. But I bet you coaches have been very mindful of that. And as soon as they got the okay to build conditioning programs and start kind of preparing, you know, they've done that. Now, with true practices starting and now games beginning, I would imagine the coaches are mindful of the pace that they want to play at, and they'll be mindful of how to kind of substitute patterns to keep kids as fresh as possible. I think the hardest challenge of the two will probably be mentally, because if you're not in the shape that maybe you expect to be or want to be in as a player, how do you continue to focus throughout the course of the game? And so that's where substitution patterns, I think, are going to become very important for coaches to keep an eye on. The other thing to keep to look out for will be, you know, the mental aspect that you talk about, the mental prep. Does a coaching staff with limited prep, with no spring football, no summer football, a condensed quote unquote training camp, do they keep their playbook simplified? Do they only run a certain amount of formations or plays and just try to be great at those in a shortened season? That's the things that I would consider being the most important to keep an eye on.
By the way, that's Dan Dickow in Spokane. This is your prodigal son of Tacoma, Todd Millis, answering.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, we didn't get that intro today.
Man, thanks for bringing that to our attention,
Todd. That's all right. No, Dan, you bring up a great point. And a couple of coaches I talked to, that's exactly. They got to make their game plan a little more vanilla, especially early on. I mean, I think most coaches recognize the circumstances. They're going to recognize that mistakes are going to be made. You know, it's not going to be perfect football. They just haven't had the normal routine, the normal time to prepare to play football. But bottom line is you're playing football, so you're going to go do it anyway. Most coaches I think that I've talked to say, yeah, equally concerning. Mistakes are going to be made. Kids are going to get hurt. I think if you kind of read the tea leaves a little bit, coaches I think are a little more concerned about the physical part of it. And, you know, just to kind of give people a background, you know, their routine is very straightforward. It's 20 spring practices where you get to scrimmage and mix it up, followed by summer camp, 7-on-7, with, you know, team strength and conditioning. And I can't emphasize that enough, team strength and conditioning sessions. Now, you're right, Dan, the elite athletes that do 7-on-7 or outside high school work will be fine. They're going to pick up where they left off. It's the rest of the guys, the 80 and 90% of the majority of the team that you're going to see some soft tissue injuries. And that's where coaches have seen the more abbreviated walk up to the start of the season. That's where they've seen it kind of play out. From an injury standpoint, is they're seeing a lot more shin splints, a lot more soft tissue injuries. And it's been kind of a interesting balance on conditioning and yet getting their players prepared for the physical nature of football. They don't want to overdo it because they're just not in the same routine, not the same shape that they're normally in. So I think we're going to see more injuries early on. I've had a number of coaches tell me that they don't expect their teams to be in peak form maybe until the second or third game of the season. And in this case, that's midway through the year. Unfortunately, in some of these league seasons, the best games are saved for last. So we're going to probably see the best football between the best teams played at the end of the season.
Yeah, no question, Todd. And something that I heard on the cultural side from coaches, particularly Wiley Allred at Royal, who's a legendary coach. If you know high school sports in Washington, you know who Wiley Allred is. And he said something along the lines of running a program on Zoom and not in person, and you know, limited team contact from a culture building standpoint. He's feeling it most. With the way he's able to, preach the program's values to his freshmen that are coming in. And so this is something that we might not see, some of that cultural struggle. I think you're going to see a heavy reliance on the guys who have been there before and who have been in place and leading before, coming back and carrying the torch. And that's where I've heard, you know, every coach I've talked to has pointed to one or two guys where they go, this guy's basically, you know, our quarterback is basically a part of our coaching staff now because of the way he's led his guys, his team, his peers throughout this elongated shutdown. But it's a difficult way to run a program and, over Zoom. And we're just glad that there's some sort of respite to it, some sort of end, and, hey, it's going to be rusty for a couple weeks, and maybe we'll see some weird results, but it'll be fun. And we're just glad that, that they're getting the opportunity. So, we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, I want to direct listeners to Dan's podcast, The ISO with Dan Dickow. We talk about it on this podcast all the time. But Dan, you just published an episode with former Washington State quarterback Ryan Leaf. It was fantastic. He was a remarkable talent. He had a very public downfall and has used what he's learned to help others in a really impressive way. And, you know, come for the message, stay for the stories. Dan, I just wanted to say great work.
No, I appreciate it. It was a fun podcast to have. I mean, as you mentioned, Ryan Leaf is a big name. A lot of people obviously know him from his Washington State career. A lot of people know him from I don't want to say a disappointing NFL career, but a career that didn't live up to expectations. And he owns a lot of his inability to live up to those expectations from the way he handled pressure, the way he kind of went about his business. And he's somebody that has gone through struggles after his career, and he's owned up to those struggles, and he wants to help others now. So I appreciate, you know, your promotion of that ISO and that conversation that I had with him. And it was great to connect with him on that for sure.
Dan, anything about talking to him surprise you? I know that you've had an interaction with him before, but having a longer conversation with him, anything catch you off guard?
You know, the thing that caught me off guard is I was trying to tiptoe around the question of starting to go, hey, you had some struggles. And he basically just said, here we go, bring it. There's no reason to tiptoe around it, is essentially kind of, you know, he went about kind of breaking the ice with talking about those things. And that can be difficult to do. I think one of the things with my podcast and the way I interview guys is I try to keep it about positive memories and experiences and mentors that coaches and or players have been around, where he obviously has been through some positives. He's been through some downtimes, and he wanted to talk about, and he wants to share his negative experiences so that others can relate, because everybody's been through ups and downs in life.
Certainly, it's a great message, and he's done it really effectively, and he's owned, you know, a lot of that, a lot of his low points. So the ISO with Dan Dickow, you can get that. It's Bleed Podcast and SB Live Sports. Get it wherever you get podcasts, as well as this podcast, the SB Live Washington podcast. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Gonzaga preps Ryan McKenna. Stick with us. I want to take a moment to tell you about our friends at Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, drive-up ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of SB Live Sports and SB Live Washington. The folks at Washington Federal care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the state of Washington and beyond. Head to wafdbank.com to learn how Washington Federal can help you meet your financial goals. That's wafdbank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. Welcome back to the SB Live Washington podcast. Andy Buehler here with Todd Millis, and pleased to be joined by Gonzaga Prep's starting quarterback. He's a junior at Prep, just gearing up for the football season, Ryan McKenna. Ryan, how we doing? Thanks for joining us.
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
So you've waited more than a year now to get the opportunity to be back in pads with your teammates, and this week you actually were able to do that. I know for a while it didn't look like that might happen, but how was it being out there?
It was awesome. Just having the excitement back, you know, it's just awesome. Super, super happy we got to do something this season, and just excited to see what we can do.
Ryan, I was at the GK game, the Graham Kapowsin playoff game. So you guys have probably been sitting on that bitter pill for a long, long time. What did you take from that game and, you know, kind of moving forward? And how has that kind of fueled your offseason?
For me at least, that was obviously a super bitter taste, but we just got to learn from it and move on. And I think we grew up a lot as a team, and I think we're ready and excited to get back at it this year.
So do I have this right that you guys had to actually show up a couple hours before practice to shovel snow and clear the field?
Yeah. We were like an hour and a half early and shoveled the field a bit. We were lucky enough to have a plow come by for a little bit. But yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to your dad yesterday, who Dave McKenna, for the listeners, is the head football coach at Gonzaga Prep. And, he made a comment just coming off after your first practice that, you know, in all of the messiness that, you know, talking about this virus and dealing with the pandemic, of all the messiness that can produce, that it was just so nice to see you guys back on the field and just see the smiling faces of you guys and see you guys genuinely happy. I mean, it's one thing for a coach to say that, but did you feel that kind of with your teammates?
Oh, yeah. Everyone was just excited, smiling. I don't think I saw one guy without a smile on his face the whole day. It was just amazing to see and amazing to be with your brothers back out on the field.
Where were you when your dad and the Bullpups won the 4A title in 2015?
I was on the field.
You were?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I was ball boy.
Okay. What do you remember about that team?
The brotherhood they had, how close they were, how they pushed each other to be better every day. It was really cool to watch, and I was blessed enough to be at some of the practices as well and see the competitiveness they had at practice and the leadership the seniors had. It was really cool.
It seems like a lot of the state, especially at the 4A and 3 level, have sort of transitioned to mainly running a wide open offense, a spread, air raid, whatever you want to do. Your dad's been running the triple option probably as long as you've been alive. What's it been like growing up in that offense, being a quarterback in that offense? And do you ever wonder what damage you could do in kind of being in a little more of a wide open passing offense?
You know, I love what we do right now, honestly. I think it fits what we have here at Prep, and we've been doing it for so long. We've become very successful in it, and Coach Cassano does a great job with it. Like you said, I've pretty much grown up with it my whole life, so I don't really know anything different. But I love it. I think the way we do things right now is perfect, and I'm just excited to see how it goes this year.
Did you feel like you understood that offense maybe a little bit better because you've grown up watching it, and then you take over and then you have to all of a sudden be under center and you know, understand and operate in all the nuances of it?
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to watch for years and years before I was at Prep. And my dad was a quarterback at Prep as well when he was here, and just having that really helped a lot.
You famously, because this is something that we've written about before and has been written about in Spokane before too, but you juggle two sports typically on top of one another, playing hockey. You're a really good hockey player, a center with the Spokane Braves. What's your load like with hockey right now, and what's that been like since the pandemic, since football has been shut down?
Not a lot of hockey right now. This past year, the Braves season was canceled due to the coronavirus. We're the only American team in the league, so we couldn't get across the border. But, you know, I've just been working out and trying to skate as much as possible. But not a whole lot we can do right now, and we're just waiting it out. Hopefully next year we'll be back.
You know, your dad mentioned that you've got the opportunity in the shutdown to get in and skate with, you know, some pretty good hockey players and learn from some really good hockey players. Bobby Ryan with the Detroit Red Wings being one of them. How did that opportunity come about? And just tell us a little bit about what that's been like.
Well, it's been awesome. The guys I was able to skate with over the summer were at a whole nother level that I haven't seen before. And being able to watch and skate with them and learn, talking to them, it's been really cool. But it was just one of my buddies played for the Braves previously, is now in Fargo, playing in the USHL. He's a good buddy of mine. He skates with them all the time, skates with them all the summer, and invited me out to skate with them. And that's how I got the opportunity. But it was a really cool experience.
How much have you been paying attention to what's going on with the NHL franchise in Seattle? And are you looking, how much are you looking forward to seeing, you know, seeing that hockey team, you know, come within, you know, 200 miles of you and you can just get on I-90 yeah. and hop on over and go watch a game?
I think it's going to be awesome. Not only that, but I think it's going to grow the sport of hockey a lot in Washington as well. It's going to be cool to see. I'm really excited to, like you said, be able to hop on I-90 and just go over for a game and even come back the same night if I need to. It's going to be cool.
How would you compare the physical nature of hockey to the physical nature of football? And does one help you kind of prepare or get used to for the other?
Yeah, they're very similar. Both very physical sports and very demanding sports, but they help out a lot with each other. It's working a lot of the same things, obviously, but for me, hockey helps a lot with leverage in football, and they go back and forth with each other, and it's fun.
I got to imagine those similarities. I mean, make it easier for you to stack them on top of each other. There were points in your sophomore year where you were playing like a Friday night football game and then turning around and playing a game on Saturday, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's gotta be, do you think it makes it easier that they are so similar to be able to do that?
Absolutely. I think, having them be that similar, it makes the transition a lot easier going back and forth. But it's awesome. Love them both.
Well, you're probably taking what, 25, 30, 35 hits in a football game. I would imagine if you're waking up for a Saturday, hockey game or a practice, you're probably pretty sore, aren't you?
Yeah, it can be, but I work with Chris Howley here a lot, and he's awesome. He's our team athletic trainer at prep, and he does a great job and helps me with what I need and keeps me as loose as possible.
What are some of the things you do in recovery just to make sure you're sharp and your body's actually recovering?
A lot of stretching, and then during the season, I'll probably ice bath once to two times a week just to make sure body's the best it can be. And but yeah, just a lot of stretching.
So your outlook on this season, you guys play your first game a week from Saturday as we record this. You open at the shiny new Union Stadium against Mount Spokane. What's your outlook just so far that you've seen of your group and what you guys might be able to accomplish? Because coaches around your league think that you guys should be league favorites. Would you agree?
Well, obviously, I think we're going to win. Absolutely. I'm going to go in every game thinking that we're going to win. But, yeah, I think we have a good opportunity this year, and I'm excited to see how it presents itself.
What does the team look like? Where are your strengths going to be, especially just compared to last season?
I think we've just grown a lot as a team. I think we're going to be strong all around, really. We have six senior O-linemen, so they're all fighting for spots there. And seeing them grow and get that much better has been pretty awesome. And then obviously a lot of returners back in the backfield as well as on defense. I'm just excited to see that growth play out on the field.
What's it like, Ryan, not only playing for your dad, but playing the same position that your dad did at the same high school?
It's pretty awesome. It's something I hold dearly, because my dad's obviously been a huge influence on my life and what I do. And it's been really cool.
You mentioned the experience you guys bring back on the line. You rely on those guys a lot. What do you do to make sure, what steps do you take to make sure that you guys are gelling and that you know, that relationship is really fluid and runs well?
Yeah, we try and be as close as we can with each other and, just bond through anything we can, really. Obviously not much we can do right now, but regularly we, you know, hang out on the weekends and do whatever we can, just get together and be with each other.
No shot at playoffs, obviously, here this shortened season. What's kind of the goal for you in your junior year in the, you know, 5, 6, 7 games that you get to play? And then obviously, you know, in 4 or 5 months, you get to turn around and hopefully play a normal season.
Yeah, our goal this year is take 1 week at a time, go 1-0 every week, and hopefully that'll take us some great places. And my goal personally is just to have fun, be in the moment, be with my teammates, and make the best out of what we can.
Well, Gonzaga Prep opens the season, as I said, a week from Saturday. That's February 27th, 4 p.m. at Union Stadium, shiny new Union Stadium. Is that the first football game that's going to be played in the stadium?
I think there's one before us. I think Meade plays a game before us that same Saturday, but okay. I could be wrong.
Well, still, you guys get a really cool opportunity to do that. I know it's one you're looking forward to. So, Ryan McKenna, thank you so much for joining us. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do this season and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.